This is the Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Steve Brooks, and today I'm talking to Jake Olcott of BitSight about CyberRisk. Hello, Jake.
Steve, hi. Great to be here with you. I've been with BitSight for a little over 4 years. I'm vice president at BitSight. BitSight is a security ratings organization, which means that we rate companies on their cybersecurity performance. The interesting thing about what we do is we are collecting a massive amount of data about cybersecurity performance all from outside of a company, and we use that data to rate an organization on an ongoing basis.
Today we're talking about third-party CyberRisk. What is third-party CyberRisk?
It's a great question. I think it's an issue that is on the minds of a lot of our listeners today. When we think of what's happening in this space, businesses over the last 10 years or so have increasingly been outsourcing a variety of different functions. And this is all great. It's all part of the new business environment in the 21st century. We've got our payroll providers, our law firms, our consulting firms, business partners, technology providers, et cetera. We're working with all of these different organizations. And this is all great from a business perspective. But it also introduces new risk into our environment. When we talk about third-party cyber risk, it is the risk associated with all of these different third-party business associates, providers, et cetera, that if an incident were to occur on their environment, it could potentially have a negative impact or negative consequence to our own organization.
Just to follow up on what you said, it's surely not just about your suppliers. It actually cascades down through the supply chain, because the weakest point within a security environment is the point where the attackers will try and get into. And that's not just your supplier, but potentially your supplier as well, isn't it?
That's exactly right. What's happening is organizations over the last number of years have been spending so much time and energy and money protecting themselves, building up their own castle walls. But as I just mentioned, in this new era of outsourcing and engaging with third parties, that risk has now been spread out. The bad guys know that. They know that they're trying to gain access to your sensitive data. If you've built up your own castle walls, they're going to try to go after somebody else. And increasingly, that's the third-party ecosystem. And to your point, the unknown is which of those third parties are working with different third parties themselves. That actually represents fourth-party risk to an organization, and it goes on down the chain.
To understand this landscape, you've recently released a third-party risk management and financial services survey, which you did with the Center of Financial Professionals. What were your key findings from that?
This is a really interesting survey that we did with CEFPRO. We surveyed a range of folks inside financial organizations to understand the governance and technology approaches that they're utilizing with respect to third-party cyber risk management. There were a number of really interesting findings from here. One of the things that really stood out to me was just how significant of an issue this is within organizations today. 97% of respondents said that third-party cyber risk was critical or very important to their organization. So massive attention and focus in this area. Another really interesting finding to me is that organizations are increasingly deciding not to do business with third parties that are not able to demonstrate strong cybersecurity practices. According to the survey, approximately 80% of respondents said that they either had terminated a business relationship because of a cybersecurity issue or would terminate a business relationship because of a cybersecurity issue. When you think about it, cyber has become just as important as cost, pricing, and performance. For organizations out there thinking about their own security performance, practicing strong cybersecurity in the 21st century is absolutely crucial to winning business.
One of the interesting things in the report was also, although you say that 97%, which is a very high figure, but only 35% actually reported back to the board on cybersecurity risk. Why do you think there's a big gap there?
It's a very interesting finding, and one that I expect that more folks are going to be paying closer attention to in the months and years ahead. For so many years, there's been this challenge that CIOs and CISOs have faced in reporting cybersecurity to the board. It has only really been over the last 5, 6, 7 years that it has become a common practice for these executives to be part of executive and board level reporting on cyber risk generally. Third-party cyber risk is still a new and emerging issue, and so in some respects, it's not surprising to see that there's a lower percentage of folks who are reporting these issues up to the board, But that absolutely has to change. More regular, ongoing reporting, metrics, and measurements will be absolutely crucial to providing the confidence that executives and board members need when they think about third-party cyber risk management.
The thing is, third-party cyber risk management is a subcomponent of cyber risk management, which is in itself the subcomponent of risk management. And while risk management probably reports direct to the board, why should cyber risk management be separated out from that?
It's a great question. I think what we've seen the most sophisticated organizations doing is incorporating cyber into a broader enterprise risk management program. Ideally, cyber would be considered alongside every other risk that an organization faces. Of course, all of these reports that we've read recently that have been produced by various insurance companies and others, consulting firms, all show that cyber risk is the number one issue on the minds of every executive and board member. It's the number one rated risk across the board. I think it's not surprising that cyber should be broken out as a specific issue reported to the board today. Just with the fact that it is on the minds of everybody, it's still new, it's still emerging. But I think that you're right, Steve. I think eventually, as we get a grip on this challenge and we start to develop a more sophisticated approach towards cyber risk management, we will see that incorporated into a broader enterprise risk management program.
The challenge with that is who should be responsible? Because as it's third-party cyber risk, is it procurement? Is it the CISO? Is it the CIO? Who should be responsible within the organization for delivering this?
It's a great question. When you think about cyber risk management and the governance around cyber risk, this is a cross-cutting issue. Whether it's a CISO may own the IT security controls aspect to it, but identifying what are our critical crown jewels, what are the business processes that are truly important to the business that we need to protect, those are conversations that involve the business unit, legal teams, etc. It's actually not surprising that third-party cyber risk is also this cross-cutting issue that's shared by lots of different folks within an organization too. What we see from a best practices standpoint is that the first step to developing a really strong program is to build a team around this issue. The teammates are usually the CISO, the CIO, procurement or acquisition. A lot of organizations have vendor risk management teams that are involved with this. So building that team that will allow you to identify your most critical vendors, start to develop acquisition and procurement strategies, and then to be able to do some sort of ongoing monitoring of your third party during the lifetime of your business relationship. Those are all best practices when it comes to building and maintaining a really strong third party cyber risk management program.
Is financial services different as an industry in terms of how they should approach things to something like manufacturing, which has deep supply chains and a huge reliance on their supply chains?
It's a great question. I think what we see today is that the financial sector is much more sophisticated than other sectors in the way that they are thinking about third-party cyber risk management. When you think about it, it's an issue that they've been dealing with for quite some time, thanks to a variety of different regulations that have been implemented over the last decade or so. When you think of the risk, financial institutions, financial organizations have long been concerned about this issue and I think have developed some pretty strong programs and processes over time. But to your point, this is an issue that is shared by organizations across all sectors. We're seeing, whether it's retail, the energy sector, electric utilities, the defense industry, each of these sectors and organizations within these sectors are now being asked or required to implement third-party cyber risk management programs. Many will turn to the financial sector for models, whether it's a model for governance or whether it's a model for the technology approach. I think there's going to be a lot of interest in the way the financial sector has been thinking about this for a while. And to your point about the manufacturing sector, I think you're absolutely right. There are organizations that for years have had these very long and deep supply chains. And what we see in manufacturing is that a disruption, an operational disruption, can really have a significant impact to the manufacturer themselves. So the manufacturer obviously sits in a supply chain of somebody else. Manufacturers themselves have deep supply chains. So it explains the complications around this challenge and the opportunities, too, that lie ahead.
Do you see a time, possibly even soon, where on websites companies will have to issue their third-party cyber risk statement in the same way they're now having to put in their statement around slavery, their statement around cookies, and some of those other things from a governance point of view? What are the governance actions that they need to undertake, and or you think they will soon need to undertake around third-party cyber risk?
From the perspective of a governance program, every organization should be thinking about the governance related to third-party cyber risk. That means having board and executive level attention to this issue. It means having the right processes in place, having the right team organized, etc. From a transparency standpoint, I think that that is another really interesting dynamic that is changing. Increasingly, organizations are being asked not only about their own security performance, but how they manage third-party risk. And so I think that being able to provide statements, attestations, whatever it looks like, will be very important for providing greater assurance to your business partners about how you are thinking about this issue and how you're approaching it.
We talked about suppliers, but to flip the supply chain on the head, what about customers as well with the growth of IoT and things like that? How does it stretch in that direction?
IoT obviously represents another great opportunity and great challenge. So from a customer perspective, I think that you're probably thinking about the same things with respect to transparency around information, transparency about the manufacturing origins, transparency about software and hardware issues. All of these things are really starting to pop up as being significant issues. Questions: how does a manufacturer of an IoT device provide greater information into the marketplace? This has been a historical challenge for organizations. And quite frankly, this is exactly why BitSight exists from a security ratings perspective. You know, we're rating organizations on their cybersecurity performance. The reason why that's so important is that this is an area where there's always been a lack of transparency around these issues. There's a major information asymmetry challenge. I care about your cybersecurity performance, but for various reasons, you either don't want to share information with me, or you might not even know it yourself. So being able to introduce more information, more relevant and meaningful information into the marketplace, into this dialogue, is a really important thing that we're trying to introduce.
Financial institutions have relationships with their customers which include technology relationships. So do they need to validate their customers and their customers' cybersecurity stance in order to protect themselves?
Financial organizations are increasingly doing business with hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands of vendors, partners, fintech, etc. The challenge that financial institutions face is getting visibility into that ecosystem. They have spent a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of money protecting their own organizations. But increasingly, because of outsourcing, because of developing these business relationships, they are taking on new risk that they don't necessarily have visibility into. So the first challenge, the first step for a financial organization to take is to get visibility into the security performance of their third parties.
You talk about that visibility as probably the key challenge. Are there any other challenges they face in measuring that third-party risk?
Traditionally, it's been very difficult to collect information. When you think about the traditional approach that we've taken to this problem, it has really revolved around the idea of sending out a questionnaire and getting responses back on a questionnaire. I would ask you a series of questions. One of them would be, how's your cybersecurity? Unsurprisingly, you would usually say, it's pretty good. I would collect information, but the quality of that information, the subjective nature of that information, made it actually very hard for me to trust that information that I was collecting. The challenge that organizations have when we think of visibility is getting meaningful, accurate, objective data that can be useful in a business decision-making process. Ultimately, getting data that will help you make a business decision, that it's not overwhelming. And that's another challenge that I think we've had in cyber over the years, is that the amount of data that's out there can be very overwhelming to organizations. Really what they want to know is, how can I leverage data to make important decisions but not be overwhelmed by it?
Coming back to the survey, I know that 82% said they were confident in their approach to measuring third-party risk, but only 22% are using a security rating service. So what are the other 60% doing? Or are they maybe think they're confident, but actually their measurement's not maybe so good?
This is really interesting. There very well could be some misplaced confidence by the respondents here, particularly when we compare the number of respondents who have said that they are confident in their approach, but significantly fewer number of respondents who actually report on these things to their executives and boards. So I think that there are some issues here, and certainly the survey results bear some of these things out. From a ratings perspective, a lot of organizations are increasingly using security ratings to understand the security posture of a third party or a vendor before going into a business relationship, and then using security ratings to understand the security posture of an organization during the lifetime of a business relationship. There's a couple of different use cases here with respect to third-party risk that are relevant. And while 22% of the respondents from the financial organizations are saying that they're actively using security ratings today in those use cases, we also know that 30%, an additional 30%, are actually currently evaluating security ratings to be used in their programs. We definitely see this as being an emerging approach that financial institutions are using. Many of them that are using it are finding it to be highly effective, and I think that we'll continue to see growth in this space.
Cyber risk is only a component of third-party risk as well. What other factors should be considered, and do these security rating services cover those?
It's a super question. When you think about going into business with somebody, you care about a lot of different things, cyber being one of them. Historically, some of the other issues that folks have been concerned about, financial risk. Is this an organization that pays its bills on time? Is this a viable organization? That's an interesting question for a lot of the startup companies out there, the fintech companies out there, these organizations that are going to be around for the long haul, or are they here for now and will not be able to create a sustainable business? So financial risk has always been an issue, of course. Legal risk, legal liability, is this an organization that has outstanding debts, etc.? Those are a few of the factors, I think, that have been considered historically by the vendor risk management team, the procurement acquisition teams. And I would say that today, BitSight is very focused on creating cybersecurity performance ratings. And what we found is that organizations who are building these larger vendor risk management programs are incorporating various data sets together to form that bigger picture about what their third-party vendor looks like and whether this is an organization that we want to go forward doing business with or not.
Do you see a point in time where BitSight or other security ratings vendors produce a combination of information? Because it's great going, that's the cyber risk. But companies also might look at the physical security risk to their supply chain, and they might look at the financial risk and the legal risk. But actually, sometimes the risk is actually in the combination of elements rather than just one single point.
Today, security ratings can sometimes be a data feed into a GRC tool, a governance, risk, and compliance tool that organizations will use to incorporate some of the various data sets that you mentioned to provide that ultimate dashboard, so to speak, of an organization's overall risk. I think that that's a trend that we will increasingly see is more of the dashboard approach.
Cyber risk landscape's changing a lot, especially we're looking in post-GDPR world now. We know from a Freedom of Information request that financial services firms took 37 days to respond on average, and 91% of them failed to provide sufficient information to the relevant body. They now have 48 hours, and that's 48 hours not just for a cyber breach within their own organization, but also within their third-party organization. How are they going to cope with that?
It's a huge challenge, isn't it? It speaks to this issue of transparency. And do I have visibility into these issues that affect me? Do I have visibility into these issues in my supply chain? The reality is that most, if not all, organizations today would be challenged to meet some of these disclosure requirements. Here in the UK and in Europe, obviously, concern is GDPR. In the U.S., we've been focused recently on the Securities and Exchange Commission's guidance to public companies about their disclosure obligations to investors. I would say that this is a major issue. When we think about the supply chain challenge, understanding the security of my own vendors and my business ecosystem, historically, we have relied on those organizations disclosing things to us in a timely fashion. What we found over time is that organizations in our business ecosystem do not want to disclose those things to us because they're concerned that if they do, it will actually jeopardize our business relationship. What the revolutionary approach to this issue today is that now I can get a better understanding about the security posture of my suppliers throughout my business ecosystem without them necessarily having to disclose anything to me.
How can technology help companies in this area?
When you think of what we're doing from a security ratings perspective, is we're collecting a massive amount of data about cybersecurity vulnerability and cybersecurity infections, malware infections, botnet infections. And we're collecting all this information on a global basis. What we're trying to do is we're trying to attribute those things that we see to specific organizations. From a supply chain perspective, essentially this allows you, an organization, to gain visibility that you didn't have before into the security performance of your supply chain in real time. And again, when you think of the traditional approach here, I had to request this information from a third party. They may or may not have provided this to me. When they did provide it to me, it would be immediately outdated because cyber is a dynamic risk and things change. Technology allows you to gain new visibility into risk that you didn't necessarily know existed before. And technology also allows you to do something about it, too. That's the other really interesting and innovative thing that we're working on at BitSight, which is how can we enable organizations to work more closely in a collaborative environment with their suppliers to improve their security posture? At the end of the day, that's what an organization wants to do. I want to go into business with you for a variety of different reasons, but I also want to improve the risk over time. Leveraging technology, leveraging automation, leveraging data, we have found that more positive outcomes, better risk management outcomes can be created.
Are there any first steps that organizations should take on this?
If you're an organization out there that is thinking about building a third-party cyber risk management program, the very first step that you want to take is you want to build your team. You want to bring various folks together throughout your organization, whether it's IT, IT security, procurement, legal, bring those folks together. Bring folks from the business units together to understand which organizations are we doing business with that are critical to our company. We really want to focus on those third-party relationships that are most critical. And that is the step that a lot of folks get wrong right off the bat. They don't identify the critical third parties, the critical vendors. These are the folks that have access to your most sensitive data, the folks who have access to your network, the folks who, if something bad happened, would cause an operational disruption. Identifying these critical vendors is the most important step, but it's a step that a lot of organizations get wrong immediately. So that's the first step that anybody has to take when thinking about building a third-party cyber risk management program.
How do they identify those critical vendors?
Well, this is why it's so important to have a team approach, because if you ask a business unit which are your most important vendors, they'll have a much different response than if you asked somebody in IT or IT security. Of course, if you ask that question of different business units, you get different responses. Being able to do what essentially amounts to this crown jewels assessment, which is understanding which of the organizations have access to my most sensitive data, and starting from there, the reason why folks get that step wrong is by not including the right people in the process. But the more that you can elevate this issue to the most senior folks who have the best visibility and the best understanding of the materiality of the relationship, the better the outcome is going to be.
It sounds like, this may be answering your question in a sense, is that whereas when you're talking about cybersecurity, one of the first steps is to talk about a data map. Actually, a stakeholder map is almost as important within third-party cyber risk.
Yeah, again, remember, there are two fundamental issues here, governance and technology. From a governance perspective, you're exactly right. You need to be reaching out across the company. Just the same way that if you initially built your cyber risk management program, you would have done the same thing. You want that senior executive level support and buy-in. You want the board to endorse or support, approve your overall cyber risk management strategy. Why do you want that? Because this is a very critical issue to your organization. And if you're the IT security person who has been placed in charge of this challenge, you don't want to do it alone. You don't want to go it alone. you need to have other folks involved, because inevitably something is going to happen and you need to have some sort of defensible process in place. The way that you have a defensible process in place is by having achieved that universal buy-in, the universal support from the organization.
You've got this cybersecurity stance, but what about cyber insurance? It's a bit nascent at the moment, but can you just mitigate most of your risk by buying cyber insurance?
It's a great question. Cyber insurance has been around for decades, but obviously the popularity of the policies has increased in recent years. When you think about it, there's really two options for organizations to take to address their cyber risk challenges. I can mitigate cyber risk, which involves creating the governance programs that we talked about, acquiring the technologies that we've talked about, or I could transfer some of this risk. And that's really where insurance comes into play. And if you're a senior executive or a board member, you are increasingly asking, if I have one more dollar to spend on cyber risk, how should I spend it? Should I buy more technology or should I try to transfer some of this risk? So that is one of the reasons why cyber insurance has become such an important, ever-growing important option for organizations. At BitSight, we are happy to be working with 17 of the largest global cybersecurity insurance providers in the world. The cyber insurance market is about a $5 billion market, premium market today, growing to about a $10 billion market over the next several years. Approximately half of that global premium is written with BitSight's customers. It's a market that we think is very important. Those insurers have the same problems that organizations face. When you're an insurance company, you're trying to understand the cyber risk of an applicant, somebody who's applying for cyber insurance. You're trying to understand their security posture. You're trying to understand what their third parties are doing. That represents the fourth party risk to the insurer. So lots of different data that an insurance company is interested in understanding, evaluating, and BitSight is happy to be playing such a significant role in the evolution of that market.
Final question. Cyber insurance are increasingly putting riders within their contracts to avoid paying out. So if companies don't have a decent cybersecurity third-party risk stance, then they may not be covered in some circumstances. Are you seeing a growth in those kind of riders from insurance companies?
It's a very interesting question. What I would say is a couple steps for listeners out there to keep in mind. First, cyber insurance represents a great way of transferring risk, provided that you've bought the right policy. There's lots of different types of policies out there, lots of different types of approaches that you can take in order to transfer some of this risk. But if you're not buying the right thing, don't expect that the insurance company is going to help you out on the back end. So working with a broker, making sure that you have the right coverage in place at the front end is really important. The second issue is that a lot of folks are looking at this idea of contingent business interruption, which is, I'm doing business with lots of different third parties, lots of different vendors. What happens when an issue affects one of them and it impacts me as the first party? So there's actually insurance policies out there, contingent business interruption insurance policies that you can buy. But make sure that you're buying those if that's a risk that you're concerned about, because it's not necessarily standard on all cyber insurance.
Jake, that's been really great. Thank you very much.
Steve, thanks so much. I appreciate you.